91 in our own hymn book, the first hymn just in the hymn sheet. It's a great hymn of truth and encouragement to the believer in Christ. It says, Jesus, the sinner's friend, we hide ourselves in thee. God looks upon the sprinkled blood that is our only plea. He hears thy precious name. We plead thy name alone. The Father must accept and bless his well-beloved Son. A great hymn of truth reminding us of our acceptance with God through Christ, the sinless Savior who died on the cross, who rose again to save us from our sins. We'll keep our seats while we sing as the organist leads us in our praise, please. Unite our hearts together in prayer, please. Our gracious God, our eternal Father in heaven, we do gather, Lord, before thee this Sabbath morning in no merit of our own. We realize, O God, that we have no confidence in and of ourselves or through anything of the flesh or of man's device or creed. But, O God, we thank thee today that our confidence is in Christ and in Christ alone. We thank thee, O God, for the sinless, spotless Son of God. We thank thee for that robe of perfect righteousness that has been imputed to us as the people of God. We thank thee, O God, that Christ was impeccable, that he did no sin, he could do no sin. And Father, we thank thee that he became sin for us. He became a sacrifice for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. And Father, we thank thee that there upon the cross he took upon himself the wrath, the judgment of God. He became a curse for us that we might know and receive the wonderful blessing of thine eternal salvation. O God, the hymn writer could speak of Christ, could say, thine the curse and ours the blessing. And O God, we thank thee that he became our mediator. He stood in the gap between us and God. And Father, we thank thee that he died the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And Father, we thank thee today for the great message of the gospel, that the just shall live by faith. We thank thee, O God, by faith in Christ we receive life eternal, a life more abundant. By faith in Christ, the sinner, the lamb for sinners slain, we thank thee that through him we have the pardon of all of our sins. We are complete in Christ. O Lord, we thank thee that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And Father, we thank thee today that we can hide ourselves in Christ and that we are accepted in the Beloved. And O Father, as we come before thee this day, we pray that we might know the favor of God, the blessing of God, indeed the very smile of heaven upon our worship and upon our gathering together here in thy house today. We thank thee, O God, for our Sunday school and Bible class already taking place and the going forth of thy word to our children, to our young people. And Father, we pray, bless those involved in the Sunday school work. Give them tokens for good this year. We pray for the salvation of every child in our Sunday school, and that there'll be that going in grace, that going on with God, and that our children and young people will grow up to serve the Lord and to live for the Lord and to follow in the ways of God, we pray. And do bless every family represented here today in the house of God. We thank thee for all who have gathered in. And we pray that thou would bless each head bowed before thee, O God. Encourage and strengthen every believer in the Lord. We do pray, O God, that thou would unite all our family circles in the Lord. And Father, we pray, O God, that on that day of days when the roll is called up yonder, that all would be saved and safely gathered in, O God, we ask. Again, Lord, we're mindful of those that cannot join with us today because of age or sickness or infirmity. We pray, Lord, that thou will richly bless them and encourage them in the Lord, we pray. And for, Lord, those that mourn and grieve, have suffered loss in recent times, Lord, comfort their hearts and be their helper and be their strength, O God, in their time of need. We will beseech of thee, we pray. Do remember every outreach from this congregation, the open air, door-to-door ministry. Remember the children's meetings of Bethel Children's Crusade. Bless each meeting in this week that lies before. Bring many children to hear the word of God. And may many young lives come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Again, Lord, we pray for our land today, Lord. Bless all our sister congregations, we pray. We pray for every minister, every student, every layman who will preach thy word. May they know the help and the blessing of the Lord. May there be signs following the preaching of thy word. Lord, across our land and our nation today, may there be seasons of refreshing from the right hand of our God in revival power and in reformation grace, we pray. Again, Lord, we bring before thee our missionaries today at home and abroad. Lord, grant your blessing to be upon them, we pray. Keep them safe in these days in which they labor. Encourage them, Lord, many in difficult places, maybe far from home and far from family. We pray that thou wilt be near them today, we pray, that thou wilt strengthen their hand in God, and that through their labors, O God, they might know and see many coming to know the Lord. And may they be a great blessing where they are, even amongst the believers that they fellowship with and serve with, O God, we pray. We pray for our land, O Lord, and those that rule in our land and in our nation, O God, that they might realize their responsibility, Lord, to rule in the fear of God and in accordance with thy word. We pray, Lord, bring to naught those that, who would seek to bring in laws contrary to your word, spoil the plans of evil and ungodly men, we pray. And Father, we pray for our royal family. Have mercy, Lord, upon that household, and may the light of the gospel and the light of thy word shine into that place, we pray of thee. Again, Lord, we commit, O God, ourselves now to thee. Remember, Lord, those listening in online today, O God, we pray that thou wilt bless them and encourage them, meet them at the point of their need. Again, Lord, remember the situation in our land regarding this virus. Do put thy restraining hand upon it. And for those that are ill with it, Lord, may they know thy healing touch. And, Lord, others have suffered loss through it. Give them great comfort. Give wisdom to our government in dealing with this situation, we pray. And those in our medical services, may they know thy protecting hand upon them, we pray. And in all of this, O God, teach us, Lord, to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom, unto the wisdom of God and the wisdom of thy salvation. May men and women and young people in our land realize their need of God, their need to prepare for eternity. And may there be that coming to the Lord and that seeking of the Lord for salvation. Abide with us now, we pray. Do cleanse our hearts afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb. We do acknowledge our sins before thee, a thought and word and deed. Lord, you have said in thy word that who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord but him that have clean hands and a pure heart. And Father, we pray for that right heart, that right spirit, O God. Help us to worship thee today in spirit and in truth. And grant, Lord, that the thoughts of our heart and the words, O God, of our lips would be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Bless us here today. Visit this house today with salvation. Remember the special testimony meeting tonight. Bless our brother who would come to testify and to tell of the Lord's saving grace and power in his life. Lord, bless him and make him a blessing, and gather many in under the sound of thy word, and grant us a day of blessing from the Lord. Hear in heaven thy dwelling place and answer prayer, for we do pray and we do ask all these things in the Savior's precious and worthy and all-prevailing name. Amen. Now we're going to further praise the Lord this morning by singing together hymn number 574 in our own hymn book. It's the second hymn in the hymn sheet. When the storms of life are raging, tempest wild on sea and land, I will seek a place of refuge in the shadow of God's hand. And praise God, when you have Christ as your Savior, you can smile at the storm. And you have one who is a refuge for time and all of eternity. We'll keep our seats while we sing as the organist leads us in our praise. turn, please, in God's Word this morning to the book of the Psalms, to the Psalm number 25, a reading there from Psalm 25, some verses from that Psalm, and then we'll turn over to the New Testament book, please, of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 6, and reading just one verse from that chapter, and that is the verse number 16. So reading, first of all, from the Psalm, Psalm 25, beginning at the verse 1, and then turning over to Ephesians chapter 6, if you like to mark those two passages of Scripture in your Bible. Psalm 25, verse 1, we're reading just from verse 1 of the Psalm down to the end of the verse number 10. And here we see in these words, David was a man who had great confidence in the Lord in his time of need. And he says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." And then turning over to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, one verse, verse number 16 there of Ephesians chapter 6. I'd read that verse with you. It says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 16. And our prayer is the Lord will bless this reading with his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning to God's house. It's good to see so many gathered with us here today. We bid you a very special welcome. And indeed, if you're a visitor with us today, we trust the Lord will richly bless you too as you fellowship with us today around God's word. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. Trust that you'll feel at home. I know the blessing of the Lord here today. And for those listening in online as well, we welcome you in the Lord's name. If you're a believer, may you be encouraged today. If you're not saved, we pray that even this day will be the very day of your salvation. And do remember, please, the gospel meeting tonight here in the church at 7 o'clock. It's in the form of a special testimony meeting. And our brother, Mr. Colin McKee, an elder from our church in Cumber, will be long to testify of God's saving grace and keeping power in his life. Our brother's a farmer, a businessman, and when he was young, he suffered from a tumor in the brain, but knew God's touch upon him. And he'll be coming to share with us the tale of what the Lord has done for him, what the Lord means to him. So do remember that meeting. Pray for him as he comes. Do make it known and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. There's still some wee invites down there on the table in the porch. We encourage you to take those. Give a friend, a neighbor a phone call today. Invite them along to the meeting tonight. Indeed, if they need a lift to the meeting, well, you bring them along and the Lord will bless you and the Lord will make you a blessing to them. So do remember that special outreach meeting here tonight, that testimony meeting at 7 o'clock. The outreach tomorrow afternoon will be off. Due to a funeral we have to attend, so there'll be no outreach tomorrow afternoon. Tuesday night here in the church, 8 p.m., is a special missionary prayer meeting, and our brother, Mr. Jonathan Smith, the youth evangelist with our own mission board, will be along, and he'll be bringing God's word and an update in his ministry amongst the young people, and there'll also be an offering for that work, so do remember that. Pray for our brother as he comes, and be encouraged as you hear of his work amongst the young people. Do pray for the children's meetings this week. Pray for all involved and Gillian, all who help. Tuesday night, 6:30, Tresna. Wednesday night, 6:30, Lisbalaw. Thursday night, 6:30, Maguire's Bridge. And then here on Friday night, 6:30 as well. Friday night, 8 p.m., will be the youth fellowship meeting here in the church. So commend that to all the young people. Trust as many will be able to as possible will gather. And also this Friday night, being the first Friday of the month, is also our presbytery meeting. And that will be via Zoom for the elders. Next Lord's Day, the 3rd of October, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship at 12 noon. And I belong to bring God's word. And then the evening gospel service at 7. And our brother, Mr. Richard Edwards, will be speaking at that service. So do remember those meetings next Lord's Day. Plan to join with us, invite and encourage others in. Our annual Harvest Thanksgiving weekend will be this 3 weeks really from today. And that will be on the Lord's Day, the 17th of October. The morning service at 12 noon, the guest speaker, the Reverend Gregory McCammon. At 7 p.m., the guest speaker, the Reverend Paul Foster. And then Monday the 18th, the guest speaker, the Reverend Colin Mercer. There are wee invite cards for the harvest meetings there on the table in the porch. We encourage you to take those and again use them to give out and to invite others in under the sound of God's word. Also today at 3:30 is the monthly meeting in the Offer Free Presbyterian Meeting House. The Reverend Colin Mercer is the preacher. Pray for that meeting, if at all possible, do go along and support that today. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We don't take up an offering now during the services, but the offering plates are at the rear there as you leave after the service this morning. But we're going to turn again in our hymn sheet to our third hymn today. It's 540 in our own hymn book, and it's a great hymn of truth, reminding us of the great blessing of faith in the Christian life. It says, "Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe and veils below, that all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world." We'll keep our seats while we sing as our sister leads us in the organ, please. singing. The Lord bless those great words of truth to your hearts today. We'll maybe just stand at this stage for a short word of prayer just to change our position for the preaching of God's word, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the great truth of which we have been singing, that faith is the victory that overcometh the world. We thank thee for the victory that we have in Christ. Help us day by day as your people to stand in that victory and to live in that victory, we pray. Be with us now as we come to thy precious, thy holy word. Still every heart before thee. May thy word find a resting place upon every soul today. May it be to the strengthening of every believer, every child of God in this gathering. For any, Lord, that may be cold at heart, may they know thy restoring touch. And Lord, any with us today, old or young, and they're not saved, Lord, speak to them. And may they realize today, Lord, that they can be saved by faith in Christ. May they come to trust in him and to rest upon him alone for salvation. Fill me now afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. Pour out thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike, and have thy way in every heart and life. We ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. You may be seated. And we're turning again to that verse we read earlier, to Ephesians chapter number 6. In recent weeks, we've been looking at the Christian armor. Well, today we come to another piece of the Christian armor that is really known to us as the shield of faith. And we read about that particular part of the Christian armor in verse 16 of Ephesians chapter number 6, where it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Now the hymn writer says, "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by many a foe." And those words really highlight the need for faith in the life of the Christian, the need for faith in the Christian life. Indeed, throughout the Scriptures, God's people are continually exhorted to be those who trust in the Lord, to have faith in God. In the book of Isaiah, it says to the believer, it says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." And again, you and I, yes, we are reminded here of the importance of faith and the life of the Christian through the words of our text here today in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, where it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And here we come to the fourth piece of the Christian's armor, which is the shield of faith. Yes, in ancient times, every soldier had a shield for battle. And for him to go into battle without a shield would have left him most vulnerable to being wounded by the enemy. Indeed, it would have been folly for any soldier to go into battle in a bygone day without his shield to protect his body in the conflict. And likewise, we can say this morning, in the good fight of faith and in battling with the world, the flesh, and the devil, every believer, every child of God must take up this shield of faith. Yes, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says there, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." That's a fundamental statement. And just as it is impossible to please God without faith, so for the Christian, we must also say that it is impossible for the Christian to withstand the wiles of the devil apart from them taking up this shield of faith. Therefore, our text says to us today as believers, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith." Paul here has mentioned other parts of the Christian armor. Prior to this, he's spoken of the belt of truth. He has spoken of the breastplate of righteousness. He has spoken of the shoes of the gospel of peace. But
Paul says, above all these things, he says, take the shield of faith. In other words, the child of God must rely upon the Lord. They must take on the shield of faith. This is something not to be forgotten about. It is something not to be laid aside. It is something that the believer must take on. A vital part of the armor that God gives to every Christian and every child of God. As you and I then would think upon the shield of faith today, there are three things I want you to notice simply in connection with this piece of the Christian armor. Notice first of all here with me the necessity for the shield of faith. Our text says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And there you see that every child of God needs this shield of faith so that they can quench the fiery darts of the devil, of the wicked one, against them. In ancient times, whenever an enemy was attacking, they would often fire fiery darts, darts that were in flame towards those that were opposing them or the castle or whatever that they were seeking to attack or besiege. And Paul really has this thought in his mind of the attack of the devil upon God's people, how he attacks them with these fiery darts, he says, of the wicked one. Thus every Christian needs the shield of faith to ward off these fiery darts of the evil one. Yes, in attacking God's people, the devil himself will use the fiery darts of temptation to attack the mind of the Christian, and the shield of faith is needed to ward off that attack. Yes, as believers, Satan attacks our minds with unbelief. That's one of the ways that the devil attacks the Christian, through unbelief. He will attack our mind with unbelief, and he will seek to sow seeds of doubt into our mind as believers, seeking to cause us to doubt God's presence in our life. He seeks to cause the Christian to doubt God's power and to doubt God's protection and to doubt God's providence and even to doubt the very Word of God. That's how Satan works in attacking the mind of the Christian. He's forever seeking to sow seeds of doubt in the heart of you and I who are saved as the people of God. And we're warned about this in the Scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 12, it says there, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And there the apostle warns God's people of the danger of unbelief affecting the mind of the Christian, the child of God. Also, we can say further that Satan is one who attacks our minds with evil thoughts. His purpose in this is to lead us and to sin, and to that which is contrary to God. And my, we can say, the seed of every wrong deed, the seed of every wrong word, it begins in the heart, in the very mind of man, sown there by the devil. Turn with me back to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 7. And you'll see here Christ's commentary upon the heart of man and how he brings this out for us. In Mark's Gospel, chapter number 7, verses 21 to 23 of that chapter, Christ is speaking of the heart of man, and he says, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil lie, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. My, the devil sows seeds regarding these things in the hearts and minds, even of God's people, to tempt us and to lead us into sin. He attacks by unbelief. He attacks by seeking to lead the believer into sin. Then the devil also attacks our minds by leading us, seeking to lead us away from God's Word, seeking to lead us away from God's will, indeed, seeking to lead us away from the very work of God itself as God's people. Robert Robinson was a great hymn writer of a bygone day, and he knew that. He felt that in his own life as a Christian. For in one of the great hymns that he penned, he said these words. He says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And he knew that attack upon him to lead him away from the Word of God, the will of God, and the very work of God for his life. In the New Testament, we read from the Scriptures how this happened to a certain man, a certain individual, the name of Demas. In the wee book of Philemon, verse 24, which is just one chapter there, Paul is commending Demas to Philemon. And this is how he describes him there. He describes him there as his fellow laborer in the gospel, in the work of God, and in the things of God. But later on, things changed with this man, Demas. No doubt that would have caused grief and heart to the Apostle Paul, for he speaks of him later on in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse number 10 as he writes to Timothy about him. This is what Paul has to say sadly about Demas on another occasion. He says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed." Yes, there was a time when Demas was faithful in the work of God, a companion, a supporter of Paul in his labors as a missionary for God, but that was no longer the case now, as he writes to Timothy. He says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed." Yes, true, the fiery darts of the wicked one, Demas was lured away from God's word, lured away from God's will for his life, lured away from God's work for him in his day and generation. People of God, let us learn from this. If this happened to the hymn writer Robert Robertson, if it happened to Demas, the same thing can happen to you and I also as the people of God. The devil can attack us to lead you and I as Christians away from God's word, away from the will of God, away from the very work of God that God would have us to do. And that's the age-old strategy of the devil against the people of God and against the church of Christ. You turn with me over to Peter's second epistle, 2 Peter, and go right down to the end of chapter 3, right at the very end of Peter's second epistle, 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to see what Peter says here to the Christian, to you and I who are saved. No doubt he was writing to Christians in his own day who were under pressure to give up the things of God, to turn back from following the Lord and serving the Lord and standing for God. Look at what he says to them in verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 3. And it's equally applicable to you and I today in this gathering. He says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before," he says, "beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked," notice it, "fall from your own steadfastness." Peter says, beware. Now, if you're out walking in the country and you go into a field, maybe it looks nice to walk around, but you cross the gate or whatever, open the gate, and you see a big sign, "Beware of the bull." You'll not stay in that field too long. You'll get out of it. You know there's danger there. You know there's something there to be warned about. And Peter says, "Beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked." And the wicked there refers to the devil, the attack of the devil upon God's people. And he says, "Beware, lest ye fall from your own steadfastness." People, this happens in the life of God's people. There's a falling away from their steadfastness to the Lord, to the Lord's work, the Lord's will, and the Lord's word for their lives. This is how the devil attacks and firing his fiery darts at God's people and at the church of Christ. How vital then it is, dear people, for you and I to take up the shield of faith. This is what we must do as Christians, so that we quench the fiery darts of the wicked one against us. Yes, we see here the necessity for the shield of faith. Notice, secondly here, notice the meaning of the shield of faith. What does it mean? Well, you think of that great statement of Paul in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. There you'll get an idea of what this shield of faith means and what it entails. For there he says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The shield of faith, yes, true faith, it means a receiving of God's word, but not only that, it means a yielding to God's word.
1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and the verse number 3 there, Paul, he commends the Thessalonian believers for, he says, their work of faith. He commends them for their faith. And this arose from the fact that they were a people who received God's word. Not only did they receive it, but they yielded to the word of God. Turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians and the chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians and the chapter number 2, the second chapter of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want you to see what Paul says about them in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." This was a note of great thanks in Paul's prayer life for these people. He says, "We thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God," there was a receiving of God's word, "which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." This rejoiced the heart of Paul, that here were a people who received the word of God, and not as a word of man, but the very word of God himself. And notice the circumstances in which they received that word. Go back to chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians and look at what he says in verse number 6. He says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word," notice it, "in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost." They were being persecuted for their faith. They were being afflicted for standing for the Lord. Yet they received God's word, and we're told they received it in the joy of the Holy Ghost. They received it thankfully and gladly. Now here were a people who had taken up the shield of faith. They had received that word as a word from God, and they listened to that word and they yielded to that word, even in affliction, even in great trial and great adversity. And believer, if child of God in the meeting this morning, let me say this, if you and I, if we are to take up the shield of faith, then we must receive God's word. We must heed God's word. We must yield to God's word. We must give way to God's word. When you drive to an end of a T-junction, you see the sign, "Give way." You give way to the oncoming traffic. You yield to that traffic that is passing you on the road. And likewise, you and I must yield to the word of God. It was John Calvin, the great reformer, said, "Men are fools until they submit to the word of God." And Calvin was right in that statement. Sadly, many professing Christians are turning away from the teaching of God's word. And whenever that happens, they leave themselves open to the devil's attack. Child of God, don't go down that road. Don't go away from the word of God. Don't go away from the anchor of the truth of God. And taking up the shield of faith, believer, cleave with all your heart. Cleave with all your soul to the word of God. Stick to the word of God like glue itself, so to speak. You remember what James says to God's people about the word of God in James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. He says there, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." They were to cleave to the word of God, receive it, and be doers of the word. Christian, that's what it means for you and I to take up the shield of faith. We can say further this morning regarding the meaning of the shield of faith. Not only does it mean to receive and to yield to God's word, also taking up the shield of faith, it means a total dependence upon the Lord in every circumstance and situation of life. And that was the mark of the Apostle Paul when he was saved. In Galatians 2, verse 20, he's giving a word of testimony. And this is what he says. He says, "The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." He was one who trusted in the Lord. one who depended upon the Lord in every time of need and every circumstance of life. And child of God, that is how it must be in our lives as well. Taking up the shield of faith means us depending upon the Lord in our homes, in our families, in our places of work, in God's work, in times of sickness and times of adversity. We are to depend upon the Lord. In times of decision, we are to depend upon the Lord. That's how it was with David. Turn back to that psalm that we read earlier, to Psalm number 25. And you see that from what David said there in that psalm in verses 4 and 5. He had a choice to make. He had a decision to make in life, and he was relying upon the Lord for guidance. He says in verse 4 and 5 of Psalm 25, he says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day long." He waited upon God. He says, "Lord, teach me." He was depending upon the Lord. You think about the word faith today, Christian. Think of that word, F-A-I-T-H. It has often been indeed rightly described in the little acrostic, forsaking all other, I trust him. Forsaking everything else and everyone else, I trust in him. I trust in the Lord. And that's what it means for us to depend upon the Lord in life, to yield to his word, receive his word, to depend upon the Lord. Believer, is there some pressing need in your life today? I don't know about it, but God knows about it. Some need, some circumstance that concerns you, then Christian, depend upon the Lord. Look to the Lord to undertake for you. Trust the Lord to help you. My, the Lord, I tell you, is worthy of your trust. You be like King Asa of old, who said of the Lord, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. Christian, heed the counsel of the psalmist who says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before the Lord, for power belongeth unto God. Well, Christian, lean upon the Lord, depend upon the Lord. The necessity of the shield of faith, the meaning of the shield of faith. Notice one final thought here today in connection with our text. Notice the victory of the shield of faith. Look again at what Paul says in this verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 6. He says, above all, he says, taking the shield of faith, for with ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Notice that little phrase there, to quench all. What does that mean? It simply means to put out. You quench a fire. What do? You put it out. Here Paul is telling us how with the shield of faith as believers we can put out, we can quench out. He says, all the fiery darts of the wicked, all that the devil may throw at us as the people of God, we can be overcomers, we can be victors through the shield of faith. Yes, in times of crisis, be it in our own personal life, be it in our home, be it in our nation, we can depend upon the Lord to make a way through. Hebrews 11, verse 29, it speaks of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. The Red Sea lay before them. Pharaoh and his chariots and army were behind them. They were cornered. There was nothing that they could do. But God opened up the way for them. The Bible says, by faith, they passed through on dry land. By faith, they trusted the Lord and God opened up the way for them. Also, Christian, in times of temptation to sin, you can depend upon the Lord for overcoming grace to say no to the insinuations of the evil one. Turn with me in your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the verse number 13. Look at what the Lord says there to his servant Paul, to you and I who are saved regarding this matter. He says in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, he says, "There have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God, we're told there, is faithful, and God is able to make a way.
Also in times of weakness, we can depend upon the Lord for strength. Strength, physical strength and spiritual strength to go on in the Christian life. It says in the book of Isaiah, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. And also, believer, in times of difficulty, times of hardness in God's work, we can depend upon the Lord to remove the roadblocks, remove the obstacles, and to soften hearts. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 26, the disciples asked the Lord the question, who then can be saved? They were at their wits' end, so to speak, regarding the salvation of others. But the Lord answered that question by saying this in verse 27, with God all things are possible. I was listening recently there to an account of a lady, the name of Christina Forsyth, a missionary to South Africa, laboring amongst the tribal people there. And as a woman on her own, she'd done a tremendous work for God. Many obstacles were before her. Many roadblocks were in the way. But for many, many years, right until she was an elderly woman, she labored faithfully amongst those people and saw many saved by the grace of God. She depended upon the Lord. She had faith in the Lord. And she proved the great truth of God's word that with God, all things are possible. Hebrews chapter 11 is a wonderful chapter for the Christian to read and to study. It mentions a long list of Old Testament saints, people who did exploits for God in their day and generation. And the key to their victorious testimony is summed up in that chapter by two words. They are the words, by faith. By faith. You see that verse after verse in that chapter? You turn back there, turn over there to Hebrews chapter 11. Just go down to the verse number 39. Notice what God says about these people. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 39. He says, and these all, he says, having obtained, he says, a good report through faith, receive not the promise, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. It says there they obtained a good report, it says, through faith. They conquered through faith. Christian, in the meeting this morning, I say to you, follow their example in home life and family life and God's work and your employment, wherever you are in life and the providence of God. Trust the Lord. Lean upon the Lord. As the Bible says, have faith in God. You think of the prayer of the disciples. They were saved men. They were in the work of God. Yet what was their prayer to the Lord? It was this, Lord, increase our faith. Christian, make that your promise day by day. Ask the Lord to increase your faith, to strengthen your faith, not to turn back in the day of battle, but to go forward in faith depending upon the Lord. And to you who are still unsaved, let me say this, faith in the Lord is vital. Absolute necessity. If you're to have your sins forgiven, you're to be saved from hell, if you are to be sure of heaven and have God's so great salvation, you must trust in Christ personally. Realizing He died for you upon the cross, confess your sins to Him. Ask Him to save you. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Trust Him. Don't go away without Him today. Close in with Him by faith. Christ died upon the cross. He rose again. The Bible says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we are healed. Boys and girls, young people, men and women, older folk in the meeting today, not saved. Trust Christ today. Don't neglect Him. For the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We'll close our meeting this morning in a word of prayer. If you're not saved, I beseech you to seek the Lord. Call upon Him today for salvation. I can be of any help to you after the meeting. I'd be no hurry away. No preacher can save you, but we'll be glad to help you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who is able and mighty to save. Heavenly Father,
We thank Thee for Thy presence with us here in the house of God today. Bless Thy word. Bless Thy truth to our hearts. We thank Thee for the shield of faith. Help us, Lord, as Your people, to take up that shield day by day in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in as the people of God. For, Father, we rejoice today in the truth of Thy word, that faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Increase our faith, we pray, as a people, as a congregation. Strengthen our faith. Help us to have faith in God. And, Lord, for any in the gathering today not saved, may the common put their trust in Christ alone for salvation. Take us to our homes on safety. Give us journeying mercies. Bless us throughout this Thy day. Return us again in Thy will this evening. Our bless our brother who comes to testify of the Lord's saving grace and keeping power. And own and bless that meeting, we pray, to the saving of sinners and the blessing of Your people. Accept our thanks now, we pray. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost with all who know and love Thee this day and always. Amen and amen.